a lot of things and solve a lot of things and get us to understand a lot of things from another level. So sometimes I like to get as far away from traditional thought as I possibly can. I get kind of tired of just the mundane, you know, trying to come up with the way, the latest way to make my ego feel good about something. It gets kind of, it's like, you know, how we can get together and figure out how to do that. Sometimes it just gets old with me. And I really want to be about my Father's business. I really want to be about the business of waking up to who I really am as a spiritual being, knowing that I'm loved, knowing that I'm protected, that I'm safe, that I'm not alone, that I create my reality, that I'm not a victim of that. And so this class is going to introduce a very interesting way of looking at things. It's on page 375 in the text. And the name of this section is The Basis of the Dream. The Basis of the Dream. And I'm going to read straight through first four paragraphs, and I got faith that we can survive it. Okay, I know it's going to be a stretch, but this will actually be four paragraphs of the course, and it's going to trip you out. By the time I get to the fifth sentence, you're probably going to be on Mars somewhere daydreaming. But that's okay. That's natural for the Course in Miracles. People go unconscious so fast on it that it's almost weird. It's in the text, chapter 18. It's called The Basis of the Dream. Okay, so here we go. Doesn't a world that seems quite real arise in dreams? Yet think what this world is. The world that arises in dreams is clearly not the world you saw before you slept. Rather, the world you see in dreams is a distortion of the world, planned solely around what you would have preferred. So in a dream, here you are free to make over whatever seemed to attack you and change it into a tribute to your ego, which was outraged by the attack. This wouldn't be your wish unless you saw yourself as one with the ego, which is your separated mind. The separated mind always looks upon itself and therefore on you as under attack and highly vulnerable to attack. Dreams are chaotic because dreams are governed by your conflicting wishes, and therefore dreams have no concern with what is true. Dreams are the best example you could have of how perception can be utilized to substitute illusions for truth. You do not take dreams seriously on awaking because the fact that reality is so outrageously violated in dreams becomes apparent. Yet dreams are a way of looking at the world and changing the world to suit your ego better. So dreams provide striking examples both of the separated mind's inability to tolerate reality and of your willingness to change reality on the separated mind's behalf. You don't find the differences between what you see in sleep and on awaking disturbing. You recognize that what you see on waking is blotted out in dreams. Yet on awakening, you do not expect the reality that you went to sleep to be gone. In dreams, you arrange everything. People become what you would have people be, and what people do, you order. No limits on substitution are laid upon you. In a dream, for a time, it seems as if the world were given you to make it what you wish. You do not realize that you are attacking the world, trying to triumph over the world. Basically, you're just trying to make the world serve you. For a time, it seems as if the world were given you to make it what you wish. You do not realize that you are attacking it, trying to triumph over it, and make it serve you. For a time, it seems as if the world were given you to make it what you wish. You do not realize that you are attacking it, trying to triumph over it, and make it serve you. So if we look at it honestly, that's exactly what it seems like. It looks like this world has been given to me that I can just make it out of whatever I wish. And so everybody's trying to make the world what they wish. And we call it our plans. Right? We're all trying to make the world what we wish. I have a certain way I like things to be, and I'm trying to make the world into that thing that I want it to be. And then he says, but you don't realize that when you're trying to make something into what you wish it to be, he says, you really are attacking it and trying to triumph over it. If I try to make you into what I want you to be, I'm really attacking you. I'm really trying to triumph over you. I'm really trying to control you. I'm really trying to have victory over you. As soon as I have a fantasy about you, then I'm trying to make you into that fantasy, and that may not be what you are. So the truth is, I'm really attacking you and trying to control you and trying to have victory over you. Okay, that's what I like about the course, is that I didn't know what I was doing until I started reading the book, and then I understood why I was having some problems. Yeah, okay, that's what I was doing all the time. I was trying to make everybody be what I wanted them to be, and then I get upset with them when they wasn't that way, and then I want them to, basically I wanted everybody to serve me. That's what it says. That's what you do in a dream. In a dream, it looks like for a while you have this whole world that's been given you, and you can just make whatever you wish, but you don't really realize that all you're really trying to do is triumph over it. Okay, that's point number one. Okay. Now remember that it started off in the first four paragraphs telling us what the difference between a dream and reality. And if you hear what I'm saying, you will start to realize that the experience that we're having right here, right now, meets all the criteria of a dream. Because the purpose of the course is to teach us how to tell the difference between love and fear, or what's real and what's a dream, what's real and what's an illusion. Because it says we don't know how to tell the difference between what's real and what's not, that we've lost sight of the difference between what's love and what's fear. And then he tells us, you know, when you're having the dream, it looks real, but when you wake up, the world that you wake up to is nothing like the world that you were dealing with in the dream. So he says dreams are chaotic. Now, does this world seem chaotic? Okay. Then it says dreams are governed by your conflicting wishes. Doesn't it look like everybody's got a lot of conflicting wishes that they're trying to act out? Then it says dreams have no concern of what is true. What's the thing that people in this world seem to be least interested in? The truth. Okay. Then it says that dreams are the best example that you could have of how your perception can be used to substitute illusions for the truth. You don't take it seriously when you wake up, because when you wake up, you realize the reality was completely violated while you were asleep. It's like when I wake up in my bed, I don't spend the rest of the day worrying about what happened in that dream I had before I woke up. Because as soon as I woke up, I realized it never really occurred. It really was a dream. So basically what I'm trying to do, he says, is I'm trying to change the world to suit my ego better. And he says, when you're in a dream, you're the one that's trying to arrange everything. That's another key point. That's what I see people do all the time. We're all trying to arrange everything. So he says, in a dream, you're trying to arrange everything. So that means people become what you want them to be. I met somebody recently that wrote me an email, and in that email, they was telling me about me, but they only had, but everything they were telling me was a judgment that they had from watching me dance one time at a dance. Mm-hmm. And so I had nothing that this person was saying in this email was true. It was like everything, because they were telling me what my motivation was at the party. Mm. Okay, like what I was really about. Mm. It was interesting. We never had a conversation, but they figured that they knew me just from observing me. So what does that mean? I became what they wanted me to be. And then they dealt with me as if I was the way they made me up to be, without ever finding out from me what I am. And I realized that's what we do. We make everybody, he says, what we want them to be. And he says, then everything that somebody's doing to you, then you're the one in the dream, you're the one that's ordering it up, because you're the one that's interpreting what they're doing to you. So you're the one who's ordering it up. If I say you don't like me, then I'm the one that's ordering that up, because I'm the one that's deciding that you don't like me. So I'm really making you what I want you to be. And then what you're doing to me, I'm the one that's ordering it, because I'm saying you don't like me. And the truth is, you might like me a lot. So again, the Course is trying to teach us the difference between a dream, or what he calls an illusion, and reality. Because it always keeps teaching in this book that reality is safe and kind and loving, and there's nothing, no pain in reality. And then I go, well, that sounds like a dream. And then I said reality is chaotic and conflict, and then people try to arrange things and people try to manipulate things. And then I said that's reality, but that's what the Course describes as the dream. And then the reality is what we call our fantasy. So the way that we're trying to get things to be, how loving we want them to be, that's really the way things really are in reality. But we're not in reality. Yeah. We're in a world that we're constantly trying to make everything be what we want it to be, and we're trying to arrange everything the way we want it to be, and it's totally chaotic, and today I want this, and tomorrow I want that, and this morning I feel this way, this evening I feel this way. And so he said that's why it's full of chaos, is because it's ruled by everybody having a lot of different conflicting wishes, and everyone trying to arrange everything, and everyone trying to get everybody to serve them. And that's why it's a trip. Because that is a trip. When you hear it, when you actually hear it said back to us, you can see why the world is so chaotic. Each one of us have our own personal wishes, and each one of us are hoping that somebody acts those wishes out, or something acts those wishes out, and we are trying to arrange everything to try to get it the way we want. The problem is everybody wants something slightly different, so now we're in total chaos. Because we don't want the same thing.
Yeah. How do you reconcile that with manifesting and manifesting your life?
That's what you're doing. You're consciously manifesting your life, and that's why it's chaotic.
And you're creating your own mess by doing that.
Mm-hmm. But you're getting ahead. We come into that part. Okay. The first thing that I want to get is to that line where he says, you don't realize you are attacking it, trying to triumph over it, make it serve you. You could just as easily say in a relationship, I don't realize that I am trying to attack you, triumph over you. I'm basically trying to make you serve me. Because sometimes when you get a new relationship, it looks like for a time you've been given a relationship that you can make it what you wish. And so you're busy trying to make it into your ideal relationship. And he says, well, you don't realize you're attacking it, trying to triumph over it, trying to make it what you wish. Now, the next paragraph is really, it gets deeper. It gets a whole lot deeper. It says, dreams are perceptual temper tantrums. Dreams are perceptual temper tantrums in which you literally scream, I want it thus.
Yeah.
And thus it seems to be. In other words, this is a perceptual temper tantrum where I'm saying, I want it this way. And he says, and that's the way it seems to be. And yet, the dream cannot escape its origin. Anger and fear pervade a dream. Is there anger here? Is there fear here? Yes. And in an instant, the illusion of satisfaction is invaded by the illusion of terror. Yes. One second we're feeling great, the next second, there's a mountain lion up there. I mean, everything this is saying, what we call reality fits it. Then it says, check this out, for the dream of your ability to control reality, I say it again, the dream of your ability to control reality by substituting a world that you prefer is terrifying. So he says, we're dreaming that we have the ability to control reality and to substitute everything in terms of what we want instead of the way that it actually really is. So the Course is actually saying, we are terrified because we are making our own reality. You're terrified and afraid because you are trying to arrange everything based on your anger. Because you're already angry. That's why you was trying to change everything. If it was cool, you wouldn't be trying to change it. So we're acting out of a sense of dissatisfaction anyway. That's what he says. Anger and fear pervade the dream. He says, anger and fear pervade the dream, and in an instant the illusion of satisfaction is invaded by the illusion of terror, for the dream of your ability to control reality by substituting the world that you prefer is terrifying. Your attempts to blot out the truth, reality, are very fearful, but you are not willing to accept that it's your attempts to not practice the truth that's frightening you. It's our attempt not to practice love that's frightening us. Why are we afraid? Because we don't love each other. Mm-hmm. Why are we afraid? Because we don't love each other. Mm-hmm. Why are we afraid? Because we don't love each other. Why are we afraid? Because we don't love each other. Mm-hmm. Why are we afraid? Because we don't love each other. Why are we afraid? Because we don't love each other. 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 That's why we're afraid of each other, because we don't love each other.
We don't know how.
We don't even know what it is. So the Course says that, you know, that's where the terror is coming from. The terror is coming from trying to substitute something else for love. I'm going to come up with every kind of solution I can to deal with everything in my life other than loving it. I'm going to try to educate myself. I'm going to try to study. I'm going to try to know the right people. I'm going to try to have enough money. I'm going to study. I'm going to go to workshops. I'm going to do everything with y'all, but just friggin' love you. I'm going to come up with every solution. We're going to pass bills. We're going to have elections. We're going to go to court. We're going to do we're going to have documentaries. We're going to have panels. We're going to have debates. We're going to do every single thing but actually say the presidential candidates get up there and say, we should all love each other. They'll say we should try to come together as Democrats and Republicans, and we should try to, you know, it's like, man, why don't you just say we need to love each other? Because in the world of the ego, there is nothing that fearful minds are more afraid of than love. There's nothing a fearful person is more afraid of than love. There is nothing a fearful person is more afraid of than love. There is nothing a fearful person is more afraid of than love. There is not one thing that a separated man is more afraid of than real love. Everybody said they want it. If it shows up, it terrifies us. Because the main characteristic of real love is that it's free, and so you therefore cannot control a person who is really loving. They would be completely out of your ego's control, because love is freedom. So no fearful person wants love. A fearful person wants limitation.
More of the dream.
They want more of the dream. They just want to reign some more. All right. So there's nothing to feel guilty about. It's just a fact. It's just like saying, this is a glass. This is eyeglass. This is a pen. And this world is pervaded by anger and fear, with a bunch of people trying to arrange everything and trying to substitute reality. That's just what's happening. And then we'll turn around and we'll judge and we'll, oh, that's bad. Oh, that's good. I shouldn't be doing that. I'm going to get depressed about that. That's just interpretations of a fact. The fact is, we don't love each other. The fact is, I'm not looking out for you as much as I'm looking out for me. The fact is, I'm not making sure you eat tonight as much as I'm going to make sure that I eat tonight. The fact is, I'm not making sure that you have somewhere to live as much as I have somewhere to live. The fact is, I don't love everybody equally, and there's some people I like better than others. The fact is, I don't have the slightest idea what real love is or how to do it. So if you want to go out with me, just keep that in mind.
That's different from what you're saying.
That'll help. So that kind of honesty makes me feel good. That kind of honesty feels good to me, because I'm not in my guilty mind the way I used to be, so I can tell the truth about my ego without beating myself up for doing it. Because when you begin to get in your innocent mind, you can tell the truth about your own self and be okay about that. When you're still guilty, you can't tell the truth about any part of your shadow. Mm-hmm. But once you got the light, you can say, oh yeah, I'm selfish, I'm stupid sometimes, I lose my temper, I like to manipulate and control and have things my way, I have perceptual temper tantrums all the time, I want it this way. Yeah, so if you want to be with me, that's the way my ego is. Now, somebody that tells you that, it's probably the safest person you could ever be with, but you don't know it. And you think just because they told you that, that's the person you should stay away. And the person that lied to you is the one you should go. The person that lied says, I'll always love you no matter what. I'll never get upset with you no matter what you do. And I'll always be there. And I love you unconditionally. And I'm never going to get mad at you. And I'm never going to attack you. And all I want is your happiness. And it's going to come before anything. See, that's the lie. The people love the lie. They love the lie. They love to hear the lie. You know, but if you can walk up and say, look, I really want to love you, but I have some issues. You know, I really do. I want to love you, but I have some issues. See, that's the honest person. And I want to go beyond those issues, and I want to let go of those issues, and I want to let go of those blocks, and I really want to have real love with you. Okay, but the person who says, oh, I'm fine, I love everybody, I don't have any issues with anybody, you can always count on me. Okay, then the first time you do something that's not part of what they want to arrange, then anger and fear pervades the dream, and you all got a problem. Houston, there's a problem. That's the way, you know, if we get out of the metaphysical plane for a minute and just be honest with ourselves, we'll know that everything that I'm saying is what human beings do. Completely. So the Course is saying that's what happens in a dream. That's how you know you're in a dream. Because when you're in a dream, everybody's trying to manipulate each other. And there's anger and fear in it, and it's chaotic. That's a dream. And I don't know about you, but this world passes that test with flying colors. Doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Then it says, I love it. He says, the attempts to blot out reality are very fearful, but this you're not willing to accept. And so you substitute the fantasy that this reality is fearful and not what you're doing to it. And that's what makes guilt real. What makes guilt real is that you're telling yourself that it's reality that's fearful. You're not telling yourself what's making you afraid is what you are doing. What's making you afraid is what you are doing. What's making you afraid is what you are doing. What's making you afraid is what you are doing. What's making you afraid is what you are doing. What's making you angry is what you are doing. What's making you afraid is what you are doing. What's making you angry is what you are doing. Of course, as we said, the situation is frightening, not what we're doing to it. And the Course is saying, no, it's not reality that's frightening. It's what you're doing to it that's frightening. It's not your life that's frightening. It's what you're doing to it that's frightening. It's not your relationship that's frightening. It's what you are making out of your relationship that's frightening. It's not that I'm frightening. You are making me frightening. He says, and that's where you make guilt real, because you really think you did it. So dreams show you that you have the power to make a world as you would have the world be. Dreams show you, you have the power to make a world. You have the power to make a world. You have the power to make the world. You have the power to make a 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 world as you would have it be. And that because you want it, you see it. Because you want it, you see it. Because you want it, you see it. So you see it because you want it, which means whatever you see is what you want. Whatever you see is what you want. Whatever you see is what you want. So there's what you tell yourself you want, and then there's what you see. And what you see is what you want. What you're telling yourself may not be what you see, but it's what you see that's what you want. That's deep. I really want to have this kind of situation or that kind of situation, but the truth is the situation I have is the situation I want. Why? Because I see it. If I see it, I want it. That's a universal law. If you see me, you want me. If I see you, I want to see you. If you see me, you want to see me. That house you're in, that's what you want to be in. The car you're driving, that's the car you want to drive. The relationship you're in, that's the relationship you want to be in. The job you're in, that's the relationship you want. That's the job you want to have. The ego says, no. That's why I'm busy trying to arrange everything. Because I don't want that.
Right.
So he's saying, well, you can't get to where you're going to the next level of consciousness and manifestation until you admit that you're the one that baked the cake you're trying to get rid of. I'm not your baker. You and your baker. And he says, so you won't get in touch with your power as long as you won't admit you baked the cake that you don't like. The Course says, that's rule number one. You got to admit that you made the thing you don't like. You made the thing you don't like. So in order for me to go to the next level of consciousness, I'm going to say to you, I made everything in my life that I don't like right now. I made everything in my life that I don't like right now. I made everything in my life that I don't like right now. I made everything.
everything in my life that I don't like right now. Take a breath. Okay. Well, you don't know how many people you just took off the hook. You know what I'm saying? Just by saying that, you took some people off the hook. And then the ego part of the mind is the part that goes, that's a lie. They did it to me. They did it to me. What are you talking about? They did it to me. 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 But let me ask you a question. If that perspective worked, wouldn't it have worked by now, since it's the perspective that more people use than any other perspective that have been using it for generations? It is your fault. If black folk would just change, America would be a better place. If white folk changed, America would be a better place. If Latinos changed, America would be. If Asians changed, if the color of the sky was different, it would be a better. If the weather was better today, it would be a better place. The ego man is always, it's something outside of myself. It's something outside of myself. It's something outside of myself. It's something outside of myself that has to change, and then I'll react. He said, that's the characteristic of a dream. So he says, dreams show you that you have the power to make a world that you would have it be, and that because you want it, you see it. 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 And while you see it, check this out, you don't doubt it's real. If I'm looking at it, I won't doubt that it's real. Yet, here's the good part. He says, yet, here is a world. Here is a world, literally. Here is a world clearly within your mind. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop right there. Mm-hmm. Here is a world clearly within your mind. I'll say it again. Here is a world clearly within your mind that seems to be outside. It seems to be outside. Does it not seem to be outside? Yes. He says, yes, it seems to be outside, but I don't know how to break this to you. But everything you're looking at right now is in your mind and not outside it. You're looking at me. I'm going to break it to you. I'm inside your mind. I am not outside your mind. I'm not outside your mind. I'm not outside your mind. So just think of that for a minute. If that was true, mm-hmm. Look around the room just for a second. Just check out the bodies just for a minute. This is a good chance for you to do it legitimately. Okay. All right, now you can kind of give everybody a clean, sweet, and feel spiritual. Okay?
Yes.
All right. Now, then I want you to look at each other, look at me, and then tell yourself, Earl is inside of my mind. Earl is inside of my mind. Earl is. I'm not outside your mind. I'm not outside your mind. I'm not outside. I'm not outside. I am not outside. I'm not outside. And if you're not outside, and I'm not outside, and you're not outside, and you're not outside, we must all be inside of the same friggin' mind. It's sort of like when you have a dream at night, and let's say you were being chased down the street by a mob, and you woke up, all of a sudden you go, man, I had a dream last night that I was chased down the street by a mob. But then you realize it was your dream, so everybody, the mob was in your mind. So it was you chasing you down the street in your own mind.
Yeah.
And when you wake up, you go, the mob was chasing. You say, no, that was a dream. Well, what was the dream made up of? My mind. So that means that every figure in the dream was in your mind, right?
Right.
Right, okay. Here right. Is the same friggin' thing.
I gotta wake up.
You're still asleep.
Yeah.
You're still asleep.
Yeah.
We are all part of the same mind. We are all part of the same mind, and none of us are outside of each other. That's deep.
That's deep.
Don't try to figure that out. Your brain explodes. Don't analyze this thing. Now, don't analyze it. Because if you really want to have your reality change, this is the way that you do it. It does not work the other way. It will not work through trying to manipulate everybody around you and make them serve you. That plan got to go. Okay, we get the other plan now. The other plan is to recognize the difference between an illusion and what's real, a dream and reality. Now, why is there so much violence in our dream? Let's pretend this is our dream, and we're all sitting inside this one mind, and we're in it. So I'm walking around inside your mind right now. This is your mind. I'm walking around here. We're all in the same mind, right? But I'm in a body, and you're in a body, and you're in a body. And so each one of these bodies are housing one of my thoughts. So each person is carrying a thought
of the one mind that we're all inside of. So you represent a thought in the one mind. You do, you do, you do, you do, you do, you do. All of us represent a thought in the one mind. So nothing is outside. We're all part of the same whatever the freaking it is. Okay, but there's a part of us that is identifying with the body. So therefore, instead of me realizing that all of you is just a part of me and inside of me and in my mind because I'm identifying with my black Earl Curry body, then it looks like I'm separate from you and you're separate from me. But all of us have little egos inside the body that thinks it's separate within the dream. Just like when you're having a dream and you're running from the mob, it really looks like there's a you and really a mob. But when you woke up, you realize you were the mob and the you that was running. So when you become enlightened, you just realize why, that why you're still in the dream.
So, yeah. So then every situation is just a manifestation of my mind demonstrating to me what's happening.
Exactly. In your own mind.
In my own mind.
In your own mind.
Which is an extension, or at least an illusion, of another
person.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, like I am Selby in an Earl form. So I am a woman, I am a man, I am black, I'm white, I'm old, I'm young, I'm a cat, I'm a mouse, I'm an eagle, I'm a bear. I'm a tree, I'm also grass, especially grass. So, it's a medical condition. So, So this is deep, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Some of y'all might feel a little glitch in the matrix.
Yeah.
I'm serious. When you talk at this level, you can sometimes get a little glitch in the matrix. And because you know it's true. Every one of us knows that what I'm saying is true, but it's the thing that we've been trying to hide from ourselves. Like, for instance, if you were to go, right now, I know it looks like you're outside of me, but you're really inside of my mind. If you just stop right there. Don't try to figure that out. Just, what kind of relationship would you have with me if you really thought that was true? How much guilt would you have about anything you did with me if that was true? You can only have guilt if you think I'm somebody else.
Right.
Ooh. If I am somebody else that you're doing something with, then you can feel guilt about it. If we are, in fact, the same man, and are indeed the same being, what the heck are you feeling guilt about anything that you experience with me? There is nobody else. He says that's what you're going to ultimately learn, that there's nothing outside you. And that you're a hell of a lot bigger than you think you are.
So then in a relationship, that's what happens.
What?
You become bigger.
Yeah. If you look at it correctly, it should be an expansion of consciousness. It should be a true relationship should be easing your life, easing your consciousness, easing situations. It's not like you were doing pretty good and then you got in this relationship and now things are slowed way, way down. A relationship is supposed to speed things up. Because the time I'm spending trying to deal with you is time we could both be moving ahead toward the goal of love. But we're busy in therapy. Right. Why are we in therapy? We're in therapy because I'm mad because you won't let me arrange you the way I want you to be. And you mad at me because I want to let you... That's all we're in therapy about. Is somebody's trying to change somebody and somebody's not accepting somebody for who they are. That's all it's about. So while you're busy debating with whether or not you should let your own self be free, while you're busy debating whether or not you should let your own self be free, you become preoccupied inside of the dream, and then you lose sight of the truth, and then we end up here. And then it becomes my reality. And then I become surrounded by other parts of my mind that's also just as insane as I am, and then it become a lot of inmates trying to be romantic. Yeah, plus you get together and then you come up with a collective fantasy that you want to arrange everybody to do together.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what else in this light section is saying. Okay. Now, it says, yet here is a world clearly within your mind, what, that seems to be outside. You, is this true? You do not respond to this world as though you made it. You don't respond to it as though you made it. Nor do you realize that the emotions the dream produces must come from you. I'm going to stop there. That means the feelings that you are experiencing always come from you. So when I walk up to you and I go,
I feel like you really like me. I could just tell. That feeling is really coming from me. I'm making myself feel like you like me. You could be saying, come one step further, I'm going to mace you. You know what I'm saying? Just come one step closer, buddy. You know, and but I'm feeling all these feelings for you, right? But the truth is, those feelings aren't coming from you. Those feelings are coming from me. So all the feelings you've ever felt your whole life came from you.
And the hatred too.
All your feelings, all of your feelings, all of them come from you. None of your feelings come from anybody else. I used to love to say, ooh, I could feel that person was really feeling this bad for me. Now, I was feeling this bad for them, and then I created the illusion that if I'm lucky, they'll be just as asleep as I am, and they'll make themselves feel like they like me too. And that's when you have a relationship, you say, made in heaven. In other words, for some reason, Martin, I'm really making myself like you. So I say, you know, Martin really likes me. And then maybe Martin is making himself like me. So it'll look like I was telling the truth, that I was feeling his vibe. I wasn't feeling his vibe. We were just feeling the same vibe about each other at the same time.
Which is a dream.
That's why it's a dream, because you're the only one that's feeling it and nobody else is. Anything that you're the only one that you're experiencing, you know by definition it couldn't be real. Because nothing real would be something that only you can have to yourself. Because anything that's real belongs to all of us together. That's right. So anything that you think is yours is by definition isn't real. The love you think is yours that nobody else has, by definition, that ain't love. That's why our relationships end so much. Because they're not based on changeless love alone. They're not made, our relationships aren't based on anything that doesn't change, usually. And that's what this book told me. It's like, ugh. But then it does explain why some of my relationships sucked. They weren't based on anything real.
Yeah.
So of course it broke up. Of course it didn't. Of course it. Wait a minute. Before you feel guilty about that, let me give you the correct way to look at it through your right loving mind. You learned as much as you could from each other at the time and appeared to separate. You learned as much as you could from each other at the time and appeared to separate. You learned as much as you could from each other at the time and appeared to separate. That's the way the right mind looks at it. The wrong mind looks at it. You've done me wrong. Get out of my life. Still separation is happening, but two different perceptions of it. One is you got out of my life and I went, well, I learned as much as I could from this person and now we've appeared to separate. That's coming from my healed mind. My unhealed mind goes, you go down there, the dog, you did me wrong, I'm glad you're gone. Both cases, there's separation. One separation I'm using to keep the anger and fear going. Now check this out. If I'm staying mad and angry at everybody and it's my dream, and I'm the one that's producing the emotions in my dream, then I'm creating the fear and the anger that I'm experiencing from everybody around me.
Yeah.
Because that's because I'm so mad. So I'm mad, so I meet mad people. I'm depressed, so I meet depressed people. I get upset and manipulative, so I meet people who get upset and manipulative. I don't realize all of the things in the dream are coming from me. So if you walk around pissed off all the time about everything that's going on, you create the very people that give you the finger when you're driving down the street. That's a reflection of your own anger coming back to you through the people around you, because you're giving yourself what you think other people are giving you. Because we're in the same mind. It's just one. There is no outside. If you really, 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 really got that, it would change your whole approach to everything in your life. Everything. There's no such thing as realizing the truth like that and keeping the same old behavior. That's how you know who's waking up. If they're not waking up, they're behaving the same way. If they're waking up, you're going to see a difference in their behavior. If you don't see a difference in behavior, don't believe what the person is saying. Don't pay attention to the words. If you don't see any difference in their behavior, they're just telling themselves something they hope they'll believe one day. And the deeper the truth is, that the deeper the truth is and the harder the truth is, the more likely it is that the ego will go unconscious. Because the last thing your ego wants you to hear is what I'm saying tonight.
So that's how you're going to be safe. You're going to be safe because when you go to a higher vibration where you're taking responsibility for your reality and you're not attacking everybody because you realize you're the one that's creating it, then you would either put the people that would harm you to sleep in your presence, or they just won't come around you because your vibration is too different. That part of your mind will stay away from you.
You get fired.
Yeah, if it's something you don't need to be at, you get fired off a job that you don't deserve to be on the way because you deserve something better than that.
Yeah.
You get a divorce in a relationship that you never were happy in the first place. All of a sudden, what your ego calls chaos is nothing but a wheel alignment from God. It's just you being moved into the arenas that you would be happy in because you stay in the crappy stuff from now on if it was left up to you. Compromise. So when you go, I really want to be happy, I really want to have right relationship, I really want to have love, then everything that doesn't meet that begins to fade or change out of your life. And then the ego part freaks out because it thinks it's losing everything. And the truth is, you're just losing a loss. You're just losing a loss. You're losing something that's not worth a damn no way. Because it's not giving you any real joy in any consistent time. You're just losing. If I'm in a relationship that's miserable, how in the world could losing that relationship be a loss? Only to the part of me that's angry. Only to the part of me that believes I need to suffer. That part of me does not want to let go of what gives me the suffering. And so you get attached to the person who represents the suffering when you still want to suffer.
So you're no longer consciously manifesting. You're just naturally vibrating at that different level, and that's bringing it forth for you.
Just like it
that's
is.
That's where you're living.
That's where you're living. You're in a different neighborhood, so naturally you're going to be in a neighborhood surrounded by the people who are in the same neighborhood with you. So therefore, if I say that I've changed on the inside, but I'm not seeing any change on the outside, I haven't changed on the inside. You can't think that you've changed, but your life essentially remained the same in your perception. If you've changed on the inside, you're seeing things different. And if you're seeing things different, then you're having a different experience of life. So if I'm not having a different experience of my life, I haven't really changed my mind. So let's go deeper in this paragraph. It says, yet here is a world clearly within your mind that seems to be outside. You do not respond to this world as though you made this world, nor do you realize that the emotions that the dream produces must come from you. It is the figures in the dream. That's why I love that. He calls us figures in the dream. It is the figures in the dream and what they do that seem to make the dream. That's right. You're the figures in the dream, and it does look like what you do makes up the dream. It looks like to me what you all are doing is making up the situation. And so the court says, you do not realize. What? You do not realize. What's that mean? It means you don't realize. Okay? What is it I don't realize? You don't realize that you are making people act out for you. You don't realize that you're making them treat you the way they're treating you. You're making everybody treat you the way they treat you. You're making everybody treat you the way they treat you. You're making everybody treat you the way they treat you, but you don't realize it. He says, it is the figures in the dream and what they do to seem to make the dream. He says, you don't realize you are making them act out for you. Why? Because if you did, the guilt wouldn't be theirs. In other words, if I realized that you were doing to me what I wanted you to do to me, then I couldn't. Then you would know you couldn't be guilty anymore. I couldn't accuse you of being guilty of hurting me anymore. How can I condemn you for hurting me if I'm the one that's asking you to hurt me? So the court says that if I realize that I'm making, everybody goes, I create my reality. Okay, you create your reality. That means all of it. That means the crappy stuff, you make it, and the cool stuff, you make it. And he says that we don't realize that we're making them act out for us, because if we took responsibility, they wouldn't be guilty anymore. And I love this line. And the illusion of satisfaction would be gone, because so much of my satisfaction comes from blaming you.
Rather be right or be
wrong. That's right. So yeah, I get a chance to blame you. It satisfies me. You know, you did me wrong. You just don't appreciate me at all. See, I get some satisfaction. You did it to me. I get some satisfaction out of your guilt. But if I realize you're doing it to me because I'm telepathically asking you to do it to me, then there's nothing that you're guilty of. If anything, I'll be saying thank you for giving me what I'm asking for.
Thanks for giving me what. That's what a conscious being would be saying. They'd be saying, "Thank you for giving me exactly what I'm asking for, even if it's something that I don't like. At some level, I'm asking for it." Right. And the average person can't go anywhere near that level of responsibility, right. Not even in the outskirts of it, because they immediately think of all the things they don't like. And then they feel like, oh my God, did I do this? And they forget all the really cool, beautiful, wonderful things that's in your life every day that you are also creating. That means the sunset, that means the beautiful mountains, that means the beautiful sky, that means the beautiful friends, that means the beautiful party, that means the beautiful... Everything you love, everything that turns you on, you are creating that. Just as much as the crappy stuff. And the good stuff is really greater than the crappy stuff, because nobody's going through hell all day long, because if they was, they wouldn't have time enough to wear it. Mm-hmm. If your life really was crappy, you would literally not have any time to sit back and complain about it. You'd be too busy dealing with it. You know what I mean? It's like a tornado landed in here right now. None of you all be thinking about your bills. Because you would be too busy dealing with the situation. So the truth is, we already live an incredibly peaceful, loving, charmed life right now in this moment. There is no mortifier. There is nobody shooting at us. There is no lack of food or water. We're sitting in comfortable chairs in a church all together peacefully, feeling like something is wrong. I got some problems, man. I got some real problems. We are hilarious. We are hilarious. You know what I'm saying? Ask some people in some other parts of the world if they got the luxury to sit back the way we're doing right now and complain because we don't have the kind of wheels on our car that we wish we had. Because that's about as deep as it gets for most Americans is, there's a toy that I want that I might not be able to afford nor hold on to. That's America's worries. I'm the gas is going to be $4, and I can't even get my Hummer down the street for that price. Even though I live in Capitol Hill, I do need a Hummer, you know. It's so funny. We're so over the top that when you see it, you just have compassion for us. You just have, because you just know the higher beings are going, oh, the poor little look at them. They're so cute and crazy. And that's us. So we're going to love them, and we're going to remind them of the truth and show them that their nightmare is unreal and that they're safe and that they're not alone, because they're lost in their fear and separation, and they're just having a fever right now and a nightmare, and they're tossing and turning on the bed, having a dream that they're this person that's working at a job that they don't like, with a mate that they don't get along with a disease that might kill them in 2 weeks. That's their dream, and they're tossing and they're turning, and they think it's real, and that dream is filled with figures from their own anger and fear in competition with them for the little bit of specialness that they're trying to get with everybody around them. And then we're being watched as we toss and turn on the bed in this dream. Just like when you dream and have a nightmare at night and you wake up into your apartment or house that's totally different from the dream you were having, that's exactly what you're going to do when you die. You just wake up from the dream. You just wake up. Or you have another dream. Now, this is really deep. Okay, here you go. Dog it. It's at 10 minutes. All right. He says, you don't realize that you're making the people act out for you, because if you did, the guilt wouldn't be theirs and the illusion of satisfaction would be gone. In dreams, these features are not obscure. This is the part I like. You seem to waken, and the dream is gone. It looked like you woke up this morning and what? The dream was gone. Yet, what you fail to recognize is that what caused the dream hasn't gone with the dream. And you go like, what do you mean? It's like, yeah, you had a dream last night and you woke up this morning, but you don't realize that what caused the dream you had last night
You woke up with that same cause when you woke up this morning. The same thing that created your dream last night, that same attitude that made your dream last night, you woke up with that same dream this morning. That same attitude. It says it right here. It says, yet what you fail to recognize is that what has caused the dream hasn't gone with it. What is it that caused the dream? Your wish to make another world that's not real remains with you. So I woke up. And last night I made a world that wasn't real. That's what that dream was, right?
Uh-huh.
I woke up this morning still wanting to make a world that's not real. That's what he says. You woke up this morning with still ready to act out your fantasy again. You woke now, ready to act out your fantasy again. Last night was a fantasy. Now this is your living awake fantasy. Now you're finna have a fantasy today. I got my fantasy who I want to have lunch with. I got a fantasy of the kind of car I want to drive. I got a fantasy of what I want to look like. He says you woke up with the same attitude as you had when you were dreaming last night and you woke up this morning. You have a wish to make the world what you want it to be. Just like you did last night in the dream you were running away from the bear.
So we really do see more and more and more of our good. You know, we really can do that. How can we do that? But I can still have one relationship at work that's not working and focus on that. So how can I see more of my good quicker?
By recognizing exactly what we're hearing right now. By recognizing that you are waking up trying to arrange everything and make it the way you want it to be. By recognizing that everybody that you see is inside your mind and not outside your mind. By recognizing that all the feelings that you're having are coming from you. Okay, all those things are how you get to that point that your dream turns into a really cool dream. Because the one thing most people believe is that anything can happen in a dream. Right? A fly can turn into an airplane. Right? So if you really recognized it was a dream, then you could have everything in your life change in an instant, just like it does in a dream. You could have it in an instant. We all believe that anything can happen in a dream because we've all experienced it. So the Course is trying to get us to understand the same thing is true here. But here's the catch. The catch is, you don't want the angry part of you that's trying to manipulate everybody and that has grievances to be the creator of your dream. You don't want the same crazy mind that created the mob chasing you to be in charge of your brand new dream. You don't want the part of your mind that dreamed of you having $1 to your name to be in charge of your dream. You don't want the part of your mind that gives you relationships that never satisfy you to be in charge of your dream. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to let the insane part of us take over with more knowledge. That's what we're studying for. So the crazy part can try to do it a little bit better this time. Do what a little bit better? Arrange everybody the way I want them to be. Now I got higher knowledge to help me do that. That's what people do, that, right? They take the new spiritual knowledge and they just try to get a bigger fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's spiritual fantasy. You even have a spiritual fantasy. And so the Course is telling us, no. Wake up to the fact that you're the dreamer of the dream, but be smart enough to let the part of you that love you start to dream your dream. Because there's a part of you that's not crazy. There's a part of you that does love. There's a part of you that is confident. There's a part of you that is linked to the truth. There's a part of you that knows you are innocent. And there's a part of you that knows you deserve love. Why don't you start letting that part of you dream your dream instead of the part of you that doesn't know what's going on and is afraid of everything and everybody? It should not be the part of you that's in control of your dream. The part of me that's miserable should not be the part of me that's my teacher. But that's what I do. I get mad and I let angry Earl take over. Right? I'm mad, so I let angry Earl take over. Well, angry Earl is what created the problem to begin with, because everything that I'm feeling is coming from me. So it's my own anger coming to me in the form of relationships that create problems for me. It's my own anger. Great, because if it's my own anger, I can get rid of that. I can get rid of that. I can't get rid of somebody else's if I think it's somebody else. Now, why doesn't this really excite people? Okay. You know why? Because of our desire for specialness. because of our desire to single each other out for attention and exclude everybody else, and because of our desire to be more important to some people than to other people,
yeah.
Our desire to be special is what makes us not want to deal with any of this we the same equal stuff. Because in that case, then everybody deserves the love of everybody. And then I'm not going to be treated special anymore. I'm not going to get my special idol energy coming my way. It's our desire for specialness, the Course says, is behind the fact that none of us get excited about the whole oneness trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is.
Yeah.
I don't want to share. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I don't want to free what I love. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to hear this, it's all me. I don't want to hear that we're all one. Because I have special needs that only special people can meet. Mm-hmm. I don't want to believe every one of you could be as helpful to me as any other of you.
Except you do.
What? Except what?
Except you do.
No.
No.
I'm in the dream.
Yeah.
I got anger and fear.
Yeah.
Sorry. But it's all relative.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as much as it was before.
Right.
There's improvement happening. But the minute I sit up here and lie and say, I don't have that, then I'm setting myself up for something to go wrong in my dream.
Yeah.
See, so I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm giving it the best shot. I'm listening as good as I can. I'm trying to practice the truth as best I can, you all. But I still have an insane part of my mind that is completely about specialness and completely about exclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely about control, arranging, and manipulating. And it is not ruling me the way that it used to, but it is there because I see it.
Mm-hmm.
If I see it in anybody else, I know it's in my own mind.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way I can see anybody having a quality that's not a part of my own consciousness, and that keeps me honest with myself, because maybe I'm not conscious of my anger today, so I say I'm not mad at anybody, but you're mad. Well, if you're in my mind, that's my own anger in other bodies, and I'm in denial about it, so y'all show up and show me I got it, not being mad at me. So my own anger shows back up as the person that's upset with me, because I'm in denial about my anger. So I'd rather go, there's a part of me that's angry, there's a part of me that's peaceful. I just thought I'd let you know that. And that's how you do it. You tell the truth. You tell the truth about your feelings. They're coming from you. It's your dream. And that's how you change it. You change it by recognizing it's your dream. It's your relationship. It's your financial situation. It's your body. It's yours. It is your dream. People are acting the way you want them to act toward you. What they're doing, you're ordering. That's your freedom. Your freedom is in that. My freedom is in that. Because that means I'm not trapped. And I'm in a dream, so it can change in an instant. Just like a person who wins the lottery. Their whole life changes just like that. Or have an accident. Your whole life will change just like, or have something cool happen. So that means whatever the situation that you're in right now, in your life, you are not trapped. You are not trapped. You are not trapped. You have options. You are not trapped in any situation in your life right now. Because you're in a dream. Okay, I'm going to stop here before I get ran out of town. It's 1 minute to eight anyway, so it's time to stop. It's tough if you want to stay trapped. If you don't want to stay trapped, if you don't want to stay trapped, that was totally liberating, because now you see the way out of any situation that you're in, which is for you to start giving yourself what you want other people to give you. Because it's your dream. So if I want people to treat me cool, I need to go have a massage. If I want people to be loving toward me, I need to take me out to the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? It's like, whatever I want somebody to do to me, I must start doing it to myself. And that's how you change the dream. So I'm going to do the love offering. Thank you all for sharing. I do this for a living, so I really appreciate the fact that if you see it valuable enough, you should actually share money. I really want you to know I appreciate that. Thank you. Because you're a part of me, and I'm a part of you. So, hey, I appreciate that. I really do. I'm having the dream that I need to eat. Are you having the dream that you need to eat? Are you all having the dream that you need to eat?
Yep.
Is anybody else having a dream that they need to eat? Anybody else got? I got this dream. That, anybody got a dream that they need housing and clothes? Anybody else having a dream like me that I need housing and clothes and stuff like that? Okay, I just want to make sure that I'm in the same place that everybody else is. Yeah. Because sometimes people think when you do spiritual stuff, like you don't have those needs. That's kind of weird. Okay? But that's me giving to me. I always tell myself, you know what? Whatever I'm receiving is what I'm asking for. Sometimes that trips me out. You know what I mean? There is nobody else. You know? Okay. All right. So, I guess everybody's through. Everybody's okay. Bye. We'll see you. Give me a minute, y'all. You can tell this class went over big. And all the times I've ever been teaching, I've never had that happen before. And everybody just got up to go. Anyway, yeah. It's like, because I said things to us tonight that are the deepest spiritual, metaphysical, psychological secrets that our ego tries to hide from us. And so, of course, we have these unconscious desires to get the hell out of here. I totally understand. You got it. Okay, so 1 o'clock on Sunday is the next class. We're going to have this incredible brunch before and after. An incredible cook is just 5 paper strips called dollars. And it'll be well worth it. So you can come before the class or you can stick around after the class and have this incredible meal that's a fundraiser for the church. We invite you to do that. And so when you go out of here tonight, try to remember that you're creating the emotions that are coming back to you. So start moving in the direction of the people and the situations and circumstances that you feel fulfilled around so that you can get rid of the anger and allow your gentler mind to start dreaming your dream for you. And you'll see all the things you're trying to work out as a human start to naturally clear themselves up. Because you already know the way humans handle stuff never solves problems. It just rearranges them. So don't rearrange your problems anymore. Let them be released from you. Okay? All right. I'll see you next time. All right.